Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome to FST, the Thursday edition. Right out the gate, coming in hot. Mike Blewett, Dave Martinez, here for the hour. Getting you updated on all things fantasy football. Talk some lines, talk about the Thursday night game, Ravens at Bengals, interesting one. And we're generally excited to see what you folks have on tap, what we have on tap. Dean and I play each other in a league this weekend, so that should be interesting. We both had good weeks in week one, I believe. So excited to get started on FST. If you want to reach out to us, please do so. At FNTSY Radio, I'm at Mike Blewett. Dean is at Spittin' Speeds. And we'll open up the phone lines in the third segment. But for now, there's a lot of different ways we can go this morning. Thursdays are generally filled with information. So we'll start with the information side of things. And some of it is rough news, because the first thing that I saw this morning when I woke up after I saw that I didn't get a bunch of players on waivers was that Joey Bosa is out indefinitely. Considering the hopes that the Chargers have this season, and many have picked them to win the division, as did I, as did Dane. Many have picked them to go far in the playoffs, as did Dane.
I did.
Some have even boldly picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
Plus 1,800.
So, which isn't, you know, a pretty good value wager. But, you know, they take an L at home in week one versus the Chargers. Bosa was out. And you're thinking, all right. They'll get him back. Right. He'll be a little bit better defensively. But now, per ESPN's Adam Schefter, Joey Bosa is not expected to play in week two at Buffalo. Play week two at Buffalo and could be out, quote, even possibly longer. It's a very nebulous quote. Yeah. But after Wednesday's meeting with Dr. Robert Anderson, it's a massive blow to the Bolts' defensive front, which clearly wasn't the same without Bosa in its opener against the Chiefs. That's per RotoWorld. So a couple of different reports there merging into one. But the reality is Joey Bosa being out, he's the best player on their entire team, I would say. You could rank him up there with Phil Rivers and Keenan Allen and Melvin Gordon. But if I were saying the best talent by position, it's Joey Bosa. He's a wrecking ball and a guy that's really proven how valuable he was with one of the top picks in the draft. So he is going to impact the way they're able to get after the quarterback and the way they're able to play defense. They have guys like Melvin Ingram and Denzel Perryman and others and Derwin James, the rookie, along with a pretty decent, better than decent, defensive backfield. But with him out on Sunday, they gave up 38 points, and that might continue for a while until he comes back, if he comes back.
Well, here's the thing, and I think you're right. I think this is a big blow for the Chargers. Joey Bosa getting pressure. I've been saying part of the reason I like the Chargers is the tandem of Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram being able to get pressure on both sides like that for the quarterback. That's the bad news, okay? The good news is I actually think, Mike, that what we saw in week one was more a credit to the Kansas City Chiefs offensively than a knock on the Los Angeles Chargers defensively, right? And the other part that's encouraging now is that they go to Buffalo, where I don't know that the offense or the offensive line, you know, with Josh Allen, I don't know that they scare you the same way that, you know, Patty Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Andy Reid does, right? So I think they get a reprieve here a little bit in week one. The other thing I will say, though, Blewett, and I mentioned this to Scotty, and I would love to get your take on it from the betting angle. Do you buy into this idea of, like, the West Coast team traveling east for the 1 o'clock start, kind of sleepwalking through it a little bit? Because I can build a narrative with that, with the idea of, you know, the Bills returning home to the Mafia, going through tables in their home opener, with the line being more than a touchdown, with the Bills being more over a touchdown home underdogs, home dogs being another thing I always like to bet. West to East, I like to bet against. And also the kind of like what I call the close your eyes special, Mike, that I want to introduce to you. And that's if a team underperformed, even with the point spread, by more than 21 points in the previous week, you just close your eyes and bet them the following week. And so those things trend for me that I actually think Buffalo can hang in this game. And I think I might lean Buffalo plus the 7.5. And so I'm telling people to like stay away from the Chargers and survivor pools this week.
I think you can stay away, but I can't imagine a scenario even with Joey Bosa out that Bills offensive line can hold up. I think you're right that there'll be some sort of a bounce back for the Bills, but this is a rookie going out there, and the significant problem that they're going to have on offense all year, it doesn't matter who's at quarterback, is that they can't protect anybody. This happened all during the preseason. It's happening again now during the regular season. It didn't matter whether it was Peterman or Allen. I thought they'd give Peterman another shot, but they're obviously already turning the page. The tough part for Peterman is like, he doesn't even look like he can be on a roster, let alone starting anywhere. So there you go. I mean,
he has post-traumatic stress syndrome also. Remember, the last time he played the Chargers, he threw 5.5 picks. So maybe they don't want to have him out there again.
Yeah, apparently not. So that, unfortunately, is really bad news for Chargers fans, for the NFL in general. So, you know, I still like them to win this week. But, yeah, I'm not going to go near them with that. David Johnson was limited in Wednesday's practice with a back injury. We got other Raiders coach, so here's an interesting one too, with John Gruden and Derek Carr. Gruden sort of calls him out here. He said Cooper was open deep. He was open a couple times, Gruden said, after watching his coach's tape. For whatever reason, we didn't go there. So he's taking a shot at Carr openly. And I just wonder, after the way he was reacting on the sidelines, the sort of bitter beer face stuff that was going on, and him now making a shot like this, there's a slight narrative beginning to build regarding maybe Gruden wanting to turn the page long term. I have been on this Carr thing for a while. I haven't been a huge fan. I thought he was given a lot of money and a lot of praise a little too early. The year that he played really well and he got hurt, I give him credit. He had a good season. But I just thought they were very in on a guy that I wasn't sure is any kind of a star. Like, I think he could be in that Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill range, which means he's not bad. But, I mean, are you going to really look? Obviously, we've now seen a way in which a quarterback that isn't elite can win a Super Bowl. And obviously, you can win Super Bowls. And evidence over the last 10 years suggests that you want a lower-priced quarterback in there anyway. But what I'm suggesting is that you're paying a guy big money that isn't an elite franchise guy. I know the term elite is overused, but it's apropos in this instance. And now your salary cap's locked up and you have to trade Khalil Mack, and not even a good trade.
Yeah, I hear you, but I sort of disagree on a couple of things, okay? I disagree that he wants to turn the page on Carr, because I don't know.
No, that's premature.
He's been talking. Everything I've seen, though, Mike, has been like that Carr was, in fact, the reason he wanted to come back to Oakland. You know, they've been keeping on playing on ESPN that Gruden quarterback camp from years ago when Carr was in there and how much he loved him. I think all the praise and part of the reason he wanted to come back to Oakland is because he believes in Derek Carr. Where I thought you were going to go is a slightly different. Yeah, he calls out Derek Carr, but if you remember in some of those quotes, he also calls out Amari Cooper, you know, being like, it's going to be easier said than done to get Amari Cooper going. And then they also turn around and, in a move that I really don't understand, Mike, they go back and re-sign Martavis Bryant. You know, so I don't understand this. I think
and
it's more like
the suspension is still looming there.
Looming, yeah, absolutely. I think their thought now is like maybe he could be a short-term boon for them before the suspension actually gets adjudicated and comes down. I don't know what it is. I'm seeing it more, to be honest, Blewett, more like Gruden trying to just publicly, like his coaching style, you know, to publicly call these guys out. He thinks maybe a swift kick in the butt in this fashion through the media is the way to do it. And I disagree. Okay. I'm reminded of, like, you know, Ben McAdoo with the Giants a couple of years ago. You know, I think this is just the way he's trying to light a fire under his team. And even more evidence for me that, you know, John Gruden was a great coach back in 2008, but this is 2018 and it's a little
totally
bit
agree.
Different with the millennials and stuff like that. I just think this is his coaching approach, and I think it's falling on deaf ears. This is part of the reason why we were on the under with the Raiders.
Totally agree. I don't think it's the appropriate way to go about it anymore, even if there was a time when
right.
I was younger and I thought, well, that's just the way they do things. I don't think that anymore. So we'll get back to other things in a moment. I would say before I do this read, I think Joey Bosa's injury as of right now, everything altogether, is the biggest injury that's happened so far in the NFL. Fantasy
well,
factors, the
Aaron Rodgers.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying
if he's
something
out.
Something with a significant timetable on
sure,
it.
Sure, sure, sure.
So obviously, if Rodgers is out, that's the biggest one in the league since last year when he was out.
For sure, for sure.
Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site with exclusively single-entry contests, so it's a fun and recreational place to play with smaller leagues and flatter prize pools. Let me pause there for a second. When we say flatter prize pools, I just want to make sure people understand what that means. So flatter prize pools means we're going to spread out the money a little bit more. So the millionaire maker on DraftKings is a very well-known tournament, and it's great, and I have no criticisms of it. But
it's top-heavy.
It's extremely top-heavy. If you don't win a million, second place is like 150 grand, and then if you're in like 100th place, I don't even know if you're getting $1,000. So it goes precipitously downward if you're not the winner. So flatter prize pools means we're going to take this hypothetical number, $100,000 in this big contest, and we're going to smooth that out. So the top person wins a good prize of $25,000, and then we'll spread the other $75,000 out. In fact, we'll come up with an example tomorrow to explain this better on our Friday show. So they have great free promos like Survivor, Super Bowl Squares, and March Madness Bracket Contest. So sign up today and go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. And the reason that's an advantage, Dane, is because it's obviously really hard to win, especially with the amount of it doesn't matter. I mean, there's tons of research that goes into this, and we have a $1 million winner from our Daily Roto subscription, which we'll talk about again a little bit later in this program. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, it's nice to have flatter prize pools because you have a better chance of winning a little bit more money as opposed to getting into the big contest with 400,000 people and trying to win it all.
Yeah, I love Fantasy Factor. Okay, first of all, the other factor here is the single entry contest, right? When you're going into these like big time tournaments, the Millie Makers and stuff like that, there are people who are literally entering 100 lineups into it, really kind of making it so that you don't have that big of a chance to win. And as you mentioned before, Mike, it's so top heavy. Here, you get one entry, you're going up against everybody with their one entry. And like you said, even if you don't finish in the top five or whatever, you still have a chance to win a decent chunk of change. I like this, like you said, especially for the casual or recreational guy. You don't want to be fighting against these sharks with their algorithms and their 100 lineups. I love FantasyFactor.com. Last week, my lineup put up 170 on FanDuel, and all I did was min cash. All I did was double my money, even though I had some really good outings.
Yeah, well, good stuff. So a couple other pieces of news. The Leonard Fournette thing, something we're keeping an eye on. I'm sure many of you were involved in TJ Yeldon waiver wire pickups potentially if he hadn't gotten drafted in some of those shallower leagues. Yeldon was the one handcuff guy, Dane, that I didn't feel like got talked about enough throughout the year. I mean, I talked about James Conner a lot, obviously. There was an Austin Eckler talk. There was, I'm trying to think, Chris Ivory talk. There was some of that. But I feel like TJ Yeldon got underserved in what he could potentially mean to somebody. I'll put my hand up as one of the people that probably didn't mention him just enough. But the good news is Fournette seems likely to play. according to ESPN's Josina Anderson. So that's good. You still have to keep an eye on it, you know, if there'll be a pitch count. You don't know right. what's going to happen. But I was encouraged when they said he wasn't really limping on Monday. He was wearing a sleeve on his leg and limping. So I expected him to be okay, but you never know with these kind of soft tissue injuries. A few guys were limited. David Johnson, Marcus Mariota, Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Vrabel said Marcus Mariota is likely to play. So just a couple of news and notes there. Jermaine Kearse practicing in full for week two, which makes the Jets wide receiver core a little bit more crowded. And Rex Burkhead is in concussion protocol. One. So with Sony Michel a little banged up, and we don't have, I don't know if we have anything definitive on him for week two, and Rex Burkhead in concussion protocol, what's up, Jimmy White? All about yep. Jimmy White. And they lost Jeremy Hill for the year with an ACL injury. So it's all going to focus on James White. And you figure Chris Hogan getting fed in the slot. But we'll see how that plays out over the next 24 hours, see if he practices today, if he's out of the concussion protocol today. We don't know. But let me do a little waiver wire recap for myself, Dean. Do you have any comments on those injuries?
No, I think the Burkhead one is interesting. I actually, listen, when Burkhead enters the protocol on Wednesday, I think it's going to be very tough for him to be cleared by Sunday. That's what I'll say. And I'm hopeful that they don't rush Sony Michel back, especially against that Jacksonville defense. I'm all over James White this week as sort of the last man standing there in New England. I think they're going to take this opportunity to get let Rex Burkhead get healthy for week three. I hope they don't rush Sony Michel back, and that leaves James White as the last man standing. You'll find him in some DFS lineups for me this week.
So Dane and I play each other in our famed Greenwich Street Tavern League. It's a little bit of a higher stakes league than some play at. But, you know, big money was spent on tight ends. It was known to be a big tight end week. And Brandon Marshall is another big target for people. Dane won Brandon Marshall at a $202 bid on a $1,000
Baldwin.
And you
I own Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, and you dropped Martavis Bryant, who's actually, ironically, just signed. But I don't blame you at all. But it was very competitive at the tight end position. Will Disley, Eric Ebron, Ian Thomas, Jonnu Smith. I really wanted Jonnu Smith in one of my other leagues. I'm pretty good at tight end all the way around. I did lose Greg Olsen in my dynasty league, but I'm backed up there by Jack Doyle and Ben Watson. But I lost on Jonnu Smith in the Scott Fishbowl league, which ironically the waivers ran Ian Thomas. There was a lot of money spent on Ian Thomas, a lot of money spent on Jalen Richard in some of these leagues, which I really needed for my dynasty league desperately, and I fell asleep with my laptop on me, and I didn't get the bid in time, so mea culpa. But ultimately, I got Will Disley in Scott Fishbowl. Somehow the waivers ran, and nobody bid on him, and I picked him up for free. Yeah. And that's a tight end heavy league, and I have brutal tight ends right now. I got Cameron Brait and Jake Butt and now Will Disley. And I know I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel, but I'll take it. And by the way, for those of you out there scraping the bottom of the barrel for tight ends, Vance McDonald looks like he's going to play in week two. So that complicates the tight end situation in Pittsburgh. I consider him to be the starting tight end, but it won't surprise me if McDonald and Jesse James share receptions or targets.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I think the long play is Vance McDonald. Okay, remember him in the divisional matchup? He went for, what was it like? You know this as a Steelers fan. It was like 7 for 115 in the playoffs, something like that. I am high on Vance McDonald. The one question I have for you, because we do play each other this week, and we can maybe do this on the other side of the break. Mike, you mentioned that we both had good weeks. I don't know. I'm 0-1 in the Greenwich Street Tavern.
Oh, I didn't know you.
But here's the thing. I have the highest point total of any losing team. Okay? So my question is that still being in decent shape? That's what I want to hear from you on the other side of the break. I'm 0-1, but with 145 was the highest point total of any losing team.
We'll come back on FST right after this.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
We're back on FST. And this past Sunday, another DailyRoto.com subscriber won $1 million playing daily fantasy football. That makes $7 million winners. Yes, you heard that right. Seven DailyRoto.com subscribers have now won $1 million. So head on over to DailyRoto.com and click on Go Premium and find out how you can party with our successful community of daily fantasy players. And if it's sports wagering you're into, click on the sports betting tab or go to DailyRoto.com/betting. Where you'll be able to use the same tools and algorithms for money line picks. So picks against the spread, game total. Wait, hang on. You'll be able to use the same tools and algorithms for money line picks, picks against the spread, game totals,
yeah.
And the use of a player props tool that can now be turned loose to forecast spectacular game performances that you can now capitalize on without having to worry about salary caps. That was the longest sentence ever. That's DailyRoto.com and click on Go Premium, the industry website where millionaires are made, literally. So I'll have to fix that run on. But I would say in general, see, here's my approach to fantasy football. I read really as much as I can. As far as podcasts are concerned, look, Dane and I are doing a show every day. I do 5 hours on Sunday that I'm hosting. I listen to our network a little bit, some of the other shows. I listen to Dane and Scott in the morning when I'm getting ready. I'll catch some Frenzy. I'll catch some Craig Carton. But
Fantasy Freestyle.
Yeah, a little freestyle, certainly, especially when you tag me and I got to check in, see if you're talking
there
trash
you go.
About me.
There
but,
you go.
But in general, I'm not listening to – I don't have a huge run of podcasts that I'm going through because, honestly, I'm nervous about taking other people's ideas, and I don't want to do that. Sometimes it can give me a thought, and I will footnote people, but I'm trying to think it out myself. But one podcast that I listen to religiously – is the Daily Roto podcast. Comes out, they do it on Wednesdays. It usually comes out Thursday mornings. They talk through all their projections and what they like. And then there's a Saturday update. And I generally listen to that on Saturday night as well. And I come up with my my DFS lineups and everything. So their article that they do, their weekly analysis article that they do every week, is a must read for me. And the podcast is a must listen. And I can't say that for anybody else at any other company. I really don't listen to the stuff with regularity. There's some great minds out there whose opinions I really do appreciate, and I'm more reading their stuff than listening to it. But Drew Dinkmeyer, Mike Leone, now Ricky Sanders, Colin Drew, Chris Pacheco in the past, when those guys are doing that weekly podcast, I'm in, I'm listening. And I'm basing my DFS lineups based on their advice. So I'll just say that. I can't give you a high enough recommendation. Yes, they work for the same company as me, but I cannot express enough how successful they are and how you should follow their advice.
Yeah, I follow the money, and they've now made 7 millionaires, okay? And that's all the resume I need.
Yeah. So you had a good question, and it's something that I'm going to go to the GST right now
sure.
and find the standings to see where you're at and see where I'm at. Hey, look who's in first place there.
What do you
Another
know?
Other than Mike Blewett, the high
what do you
score,
know?
1-0. So, Dane, it happens to be 0-1.
I'm 0-1. 145
you,
I put up.
You put up 145. So that was
and that was with a zero from Doug Baldwin. Zero from Doug Baldwin also.
That's right. Young Cardano down there. I play Craig Carton, and he did not do well. He had a tough week, so he had the low score on the week. I think I had the high score on the week or close to it. There's three of us, like, right there in the mix.
169. No, Jimbo Slice.
There's a 0.4, yeah.
Oh,
point
yeah, and Scott. Don't let it be known, but Scott Engel had the highest score of the week. Phantom 516.
He's 168. I'm on 169.
Oh, my bad.
He's 168.8, 169.3, but by a half point. So three of us were separated by a point.
A point, yeah.
In any event, Dane asked, I'm 0-1, but I put up the high one. You know, I put up a mid-range score for this league.
The highest scoring 0-1 team. The highest scoring 0-1 team.
So sometimes people get to be 0-1, even 0-2, dare I say 0-3, and they panic. But if you're putting up good scores, should you panic? The answer is no. I think you're always going to be tweaking your team, trying to get a little bit better, trying to project what's going to happen for players down the road. But I don't think you can freak out based on record. It gets to a certain point where maybe, I don't know, you're 2-5 and things aren't looking good. Then you try to, because you might miss the playoffs, even if you're tracking well on points. But I can tell you there's leagues where I've done really well, took some hard luck losses. I've been 2-5, 2-6, and I held the line, and I came from behind, ran off 6-7, made the playoffs, something along those lines. So you have to keep that in mind, that you can't just because you're 0-2 or 0-3 or you get to 1-3 or something like that, you can't completely panic if your points are tracking well. So the points are, frankly, more important than the record, but the record's going to come into play if you feel like you're going to miss the playoffs. So the points are generally more important, but you have to be honest with the points too, Dane. If you're looking at your total points and you're like, hey, after 5 weeks, I'm in great shape, but it's because you got two monster performances out of Alvin Kamara and the rest of your team isn't doing that well, I think you have to be honest. You have to have brutal honesty in evaluating your team. Be like, you know what? My wide receivers really aren't good, and Kamara's making up for it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And what it does for me, because just so you know, when you see the standings, Mike, here in this GST league, I played You a Girly Man, so I lost by 10 points, right? Or 11 points. Okay, I lost by 11 points. So I'm okay with this. And you know, what it does for me, though, is it makes me go back and hate my decisions that I made because I knew I could have won. You know, so I got 0 out of Doug Baldwin. I also, on Sunday morning, made a switch that killed me. I made a switch at quarterback, and I put Big Ben in, where going into it, I was wondering about Tyrod Taylor, and Tyrod actually scored 10 more points than Big Ben. So that and the Doug Baldwin bagel is what gave me the loss. But that's okay, because I believe I'm going to go to 1-1 facing you this week, Mike. So let's think about it. Let me ask you, as my opponent, my quarterbacks are Big Ben and Tyrod. Now, Big Ben has a little bit of an elbow issue that you know, but he's at home against those Kansas City Chiefs pass secondary, so that seems good to me. Or do I go with Tyrod facing New Orleans, who gave up 48 points to Ryan Fitzpatrick in a dome, and I like the rushing potential there. Who would you rather I not start against you, Blewett?
It's a good one, because he's in New Orleans. But you have Ben for the home games.
I do. So, and against the Kansas City Chiefs is a great matchup, but that elbow concerns me.
Yeah, as it should. But some people think he's a total drama queen with the injuries. He gets beat up. I'll say this as a Steelers fan. I get it that early in his career in particular, he talked about his injuries, and sometimes people don't appreciate that, and they think he's complaining too much and saying, I played with a rib injury, I played with a foot injury. A lot of guys are out there playing hurt, and they don't say anything about it. So I get that. But the reality is, in totality, he gets crushed. He's able to keep plays alive, and he gets crushed for it, and even with a good offensive line. So I do think
him and
he's
Cam
a pretty
Newton
tough,
to me.
I mean,
Cam
pretty
Newton
tough
to
dude
me, the ones
in
who
general.
Get banged up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And people don't think about it. It's like Shaq, you know, in the NBA, where he was getting fouled all the time and people wouldn't call it because they just thought he was so much bigger and he could kind of take it, you know.
Yeah,
and I think Ben and Cam Newton and Ben kind of get a little bit of that in the NFL. No one's going to call the personal foul like putting their body weight on the quarterback. I don't think that's going to happen against Ben and Cam Newton much.
Yeah. So I think you go and play Ben. Although, you know, based on the way the Saints defense looked, like how could I possibly see that Tyrod's a bad play? Like, I think you got two pretty decent options there, but play Ben. If given that, I would play Ben. You have him for the home games. That's the way I look at it. If you made the mistake of playing him on the road in the rain and the wind and all that kind of stuff. So, so Tyrod
so against Kansas City at home is probably like the dream matchup for me, right?
Had you played Tyrod, you would have won.
The Tyrod. Difference between them was 10 points. Tyrod had 28, Ben had 18, and I lost by like between 10 and 11 points. So that difference and the fact that I got zero out of Doug Baldwin was definitely the difference.
Got it. Yeah, I'm trying to look at stuff on DraftKings right now. Ben Roethlisberger, $6,900. He's one of the highest paid, highest priced QBs out there. I'm on DraftKings right now, and Tyrod is $5,900. So you got a $1,000 difference there, or no, a several thousand dollar difference there. No, yeah, $1,000 difference there between Ben and Tyrod on DraftKings. So as we keep going through it, you know, we're taking a look at tonight's game. Obviously, we'll get to in a minute. We'll take a look at some DFS in the next segment. But tonight's game, Ravens Bengals. It's 1.5. I heard you guys talking about it at the end of the end of that previous show. There, you got a 45 total. Now, as these Thursday games have gone on throughout the years, especially as it gets later in the year, you start hammering that under because these games are played pretty poorly in a lot of instances. But I wonder, it's week two. Not everybody's that beat up yet. Do you see an opportunity for there to be some points here? I mean, the Bengals didn't shut down the Colts necessarily. It was a tight game, you know, played in the 20s. And Baltimore played the worst team that we saw in the NFL since the Browns.
Right.
Last year. So I think this is a tight one. This spread seems right to me because I can't quite figure out what it's going to be. I would lean. Okay. So sorry. We had a little
technical
issue there.
Oh, I hear you, Mikey. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so,
you're back now.
Sorry, we had a little technical issue there. But Ravens, Bengals, that 1.5. Just give me your sense tonight of this game.
Sure.
Who do you like to be a breakout star?
Oh, a breakout star in this game? Listen, I think, I don't know if star is the right word, but I think Joe Mixon will announce himself a little bit more. I think he looked really good in week one. I agree that this Cincinnati offense is going to take a step forward, and I think they get a chance to prove that against a much better defense than they saw in week one. They return home, and I want to see what Andy Dalton, Joe Mixon, and guys like John Ross, guys like Tyler Eifert, what they can do against a much better defensive test than they saw in week one. Generally speaking, you know, this is a 1.5 point spread. I'm staying away from this game. I have a slight lean to Cincinnati because I like the home team, and I just think it's recency bias that everyone loves what the Ravens did against what, in my opinion, is the worst team in the NFL. So I stay away from this game, but if I had to bet in a format where I bet every game against the spread, I would lean towards the home team getting points. The one thing I will say, though, Mike, that I want to ask you is, for me, and I've said this on Fantasy Freestyle a ton, this is, you know, Exhibit A of why, in my opinion, the NFL does not care about player safety.
The Thursday night games.
Yeah, the Thursday night games and the injuries that happen here. You're having a team travel, especially for the road teams. You know, I think it's ridiculous just for the product and the, you know, the capitalism of it all and the ratings and the ad money.
I mean, they've made so much money on these Thursday night games. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. You know, Fox is getting these games now. Amazon paid another, I think it was 50 mil for it annually over the course of the next couple of years. And that number might even be light. So these games aren't going anywhere despite the quality of play. I would imagine that, well, the good thing is that the slate got better for Thursday night games. They improved the quality of the slate for the Thursday night games over the course of the year. So that might be helpful. However, it still means that these guys are playing on what is effectively, you know, 3 days rest, which is not even close to enough. I'm also against the 18-game schedule that has been floated out there in the past. I don't think you can be talking out of one side of your mouth about an 18-game schedule, but we'll get rid of the preseason games. They're not even playing in the preseason games anymore.
Right.
They're barely playing in the preseason games. There are certain teams where we didn't see any of their skill players for the whole preseason.
Like the Rams.
Which I don't criticize for at all. I really don't. They have enough practice reps that you figure you can get out there. They do enough live scrimmages that they probably feel okay with it. And why risk it during, you know, live action when some guys that are fringe NFL players are trying to prove something and could get a starter hurt. And I don't criticize the fringe players either. It's just the position that they're put in. Anyway, yeah, I'm down on the 18-game schedule too, because I think at the end of the day, we are talking about a league that is extremely impacted by injury, especially at the quarterback position. And I think adding those two extra live games will lose some more starting quarterbacks. People will start to complain about the quality of play at quarterback, which really isn't bad at all right now, especially with rule changes favoring them. Plus, something I talk about a lot, the offensive line play in the NFL isn't good. And as more and more of those guys go down, and we see this every week, it gets worse and worse throughout the year. Adding two more games, by the time we get to the playoffs, it's going to be even a worse war of attrition. And there's going to be some bad teams out there getting people hurt because they can't protect them.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I've talked about this. The offensive line play is poor. That's part of the reason why I'm very down on the Houston Texans this year, especially after Chantrell Henderson, one of their starting five, goes down. So now, to your point, one of the backups, a guy who couldn't crack the starting lineup on one of the worst offensive lines in football, is now in there and will be for the next 15 games, right? But it goes back to also that the college game is much different now for offensive linemen. And, Mike, the CBA, where there's not enough practice time, there's not enough practice and pads in the offseason to even develop these offensive linemen. So I agree with you. I know I took it in a little bit of a different direction, but to get right back at it, I stay away on this game. Divisional matchup, the Thursday night football, a little bit too many factors that are kind of monkey wrenches for me. I stay away, but I do have a slight lean, if I had to Cincinnati, because I just think that this line is inflated based on what everyone saw from the Ravens last week, and I think that is more about Buffalo being bad than Baltimore being like the best team in the AFC.
I wonder if this is a sneaky over. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I like the under on this one. Like, you think Joe Flacco is going to do it again against one of the better pass with the best?
These are think we're
the
looking
Cincinnati
at contract
is one of the better
Flacco.
D lines. Maybe this is like
Flacco
Alex
like
Smith.
A month.
Is this like Alex Smith of 2017, basically all inspired and the contract and stuff like that? But also, here's the thing, though.
I think he was inspired by Andy Reid and them having a lot of weapons, too. I'm also not down on Alex Smith like other people are. I actually think he's pretty good. But this is contract.
Going back
Flacco,
to this game, though,
and
what about the D-line? That Cincinnati D-line, Geno Atkins and them boys, they can get after
they're
it.
Great. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, so that doesn't hurt you with Flacco?
They have a good enough offensive line that they should be able to protect some. I'm not suggesting it's 48-40. I just need a little 27-20, a little 27-21. Get me a little
I'm on
pitch.
The under. I think he gets a little sloppy here.
All right, we'll come back for the final segment. We'll talk about whatever you feel like. But it's NFL related, I promise that. It's Mike and Dane. Be right back.
Marcus Cato is a baseball-loving 20-year-old Californian. In May, he was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. Marcus now needs a bone marrow transplant from an unrelated donor to survive. The National Bone Marrow Registry is made up of only 7% African Americans, which means Marcus, who is biracial, faces a unique challenge to find a match. Text INVOLVE to 50555 to join DKMS in the fight to help Marcus and others get a second chance at life.
Back on FST, and BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment and winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events, where you can make your play at any time during the game. So using promo code FNTSY, BetDSI is offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. We may have a caller. If we do, throw him in here, Chris Bavona. Sorry, the caller's gone. So we will continue on with what we're talking about. So, in the Carton and Friends League that we're in, Dane, we actually had a very good week. I think we've mentioned
sure
enough and bragged enough. We had the high score of 216 points and, actually well outdistancing the competition in week
sure
one.
Sure did.
It's just one game, so the total points help here. So we're happy to be pacing ahead of the group, but clearly
we play the number two team too this week.
Oh, really?
We play the second place team. We play the benevolent stranger. Our guy John, one of our fan that got into the league, he was in second place at 168. We were a good 50 points ahead of him. But early season matchup of the one and the two seed in this league. But I like where we're going as long as James Conner is still in our flex. I think we're in good shape. We do have a couple of decisions, though, at quarterback, Matt Ryan or Matt Stafford, and then maybe a wide receiver decision.
So that is the most concerning thing of this team thus far. We have a suspended Mark Ingram there. We got Sony Michel and Austin Seferian Jenkins, which are a little banged up. Did the waivers just run?
Brandon
Marshall's on our team.
Brandon Marshall is on our team. Yeah, we have $797 in our budget. So waivers just ran. We went ahead, and I think we got Brandon Marshall. We dropped Christian Kirk. So now we have Marshall as well at wide receiver. So what are we going to do at quarterback, and what are we going to do at wide receiver, Mike?
So our biggest issue right now is Matt Ryan versus Matt Stafford. That's Matt Stafford on the road with a offensive line that didn't look that great. But I'll take Matty Ice at home. I know Carolina's defense is good, but I'll take Matty Ice at home to bounce back. He has those funky games sometimes like he had in Philly, and they struggled in the red zone, and I think that's something to keep your eye on. By the way, my Atlanta-Tennessee Super Bowl pick could not look worse right now. It's terrible out of the gate. I got three guys lost for the season on those two teams. But in any event, I'll take Matty Ice at home. I like a bounce back here for Atlanta. I think Atlanta's going to win this game outright. So I like him there. I'm not suggesting that this could be an interesting Stafford-Garoppolo game stack kind of scenario. I do think that there's that opportunity, and I've seen that early, like a Detroit-San Francisco game stack for DFS would be interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll hedge my bets and do that, but I'm going to go with Matt Ryan here. What's your call?
Yeah, I like that as well. I'm just worried about Matt Stafford. I'm worried about his health, to be quite honest, and I'm worried about the Lions unraveling a little bit. You weren't with us yesterday, Blewett, but we talked about those reports that some of the Lions veterans are a little bit miffed at Patricia trying to, install rules and the quote-unquote Patriot way. I'm going to lean with Matt Ryan over Matthew Stafford, but I do take issue with one thing you said. I know you have the Atlanta Falcons as a Super Bowl kind of pick, and you think that they get right at home. I am very concerned, Mike, and I know you know this as well. I'm concerned about the loss of Deion Jones and Keanu Neal for that
defense. So am I.
Okay.
Oh my.
So I might, I might lean towards the Panthers plus six in this game. Really worried about. It's at plus six right now. You got the Falcons minus six in their home opener. Because it's also a division game and those tend to be close, I'm really worried about Deion Lewis and Keanu Neal, their impact on that defense. I might
lay
Carolina plus six. Would?
I wouldn't lay those points. I would not lay those
points. Oh, you would not lay the points, right.
I think they're
so maybe Atlanta
win,
straight
but I would
up.
Lay six. Yeah.
I agree with you. I could see this being a 23-20 kind of game, a 27-24 kind of game, a last team with the ball kind of game. I think this is a one possession game in the fourth quarter, so I'll take the 6 points in a division matchup.
The public seems to be on Atlanta because it did not open at six. And in the first game, there was like a 4.5 point swing with that week one line. A week one
right.
is always a little different. People are going to throw a lot of money down, and they didn't like Philly without Wentz and all that kind of jazz.
Right.
But the reality is they didn't win. They didn't cover the whole thing. So, and here they are again, and the public moved the lineup. I think it opened at 5 or 5.5. So the public moved to Atlanta yet again. Which is a little
But the thing
scary.
Like Neal and Jones being out are things that the public does not consider. Two defensive guys being out. I think that helps someone wanting to bet Carolina. It may even move more. You may be
best,
able to get it at 6.5, and then I
that's
jump
two
all
best
over
defensive
it.
Players.
Yeah, that's Cam Chancellor and Bobby Wagner in the Seattle
Basically.
Mold. You know what I mean?
Basically, yeah, yeah.
So that worries me. But, Mike, we got some wide receiver decisions to make here, I think. May have lost him again, Bavona. Okay, I just can't hear him.
Okay, so I'll just keep going.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, I'll keep going. So the Hawks-Falcons, you often hear the Hawks-Falcons comparison because Dan Quinn was the defensive coordinator right. in Seattle when he was coaching Bobby Wagner and Cam Chancellor before he moved over to Atlanta and lost a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. But I digress. you wanted the other decision you have for us is what?
Well, at wide receiver, I mean, you know, we started and did very, very well. We started Michael Thomas, Manny Sanders, and Nelson Agholor. I think those, to be quite honest, are the three that I want to run out there again. Nelson Agholor without Hargraves in Tampa and Jeffrey still out. I love what Sanders is doing as the target for Case Keenum. And obviously Michael Thomas. I'm not worried that he missed practice. But now we have, you know, on the bench, we have Brandon Marshall, who may be the number one for Seattle. We have Randall Cobb, the hero of Sunday Night Football. And Ryan Grant had a sneaky 8 catches for 59 yards as well. I personally want to keep us at Thomas, Sanders, and Agholor, but I'll entertain the idea if you want to put in Cobb, Marshall, or Grant.
I don't think that's the decision. I think the decision is you put James Conner in at running back, put LeSean McCoy to the flex, and then there's your decision. Because we have Gordon and McCoy in the same game. Do you take out LeSean McCoy and put in one of these receivers in order to make up for LeSean McCoy? You know, maybe bench McCoy until he gets going? Or do you think McCoy has some sort of big bounce-back game against the Joey Bosa-less L.A. Chargers?
I would keep Shady in my lineups. I mean, he was our fourth-round pick. You know, I go with the – he is the Buffalo offense. I know he didn't get going, but game flow kind of got out of control that one. And if we think this is going to be something of a more competitive game
– I don't. I think it's going to be it won't be that bad. I actually don't.
You said early in the show that you wouldn't lay the 7.5 points.
Because I agree with that. With that. It's because it's a lot to lay on the road. That's a lot of points.
Right.
I'm just trying to be smart about it. I'll take the Chargers on the money line all day.
Okay, but who would you put in over McCoy in our lineup? You don't think McCoy is that offense? You think there's going to be another three out of McCoy? I think it's safer. You know, if you ask me out of McCoy, Cobb, B. Marsh, or Grant, who is most likely to get double digits, the answer for me is an easy Shady McCoy.
I agree. I think we're keeping him in the lineup because Randall Cobb has a tough matchup against the Vikings. They
True.
Can cover really well. Brandon Marshall going up against the Bears. There's something there with Brandon Marshall and the Bears. I want to get his price.
Ooh, revenge game.
I'd like to get his price on DFS. Yeah.
Yeah.
The revenge. He's got a lot of revenge going around this league. But
yeah, he's got revenge wherever he wants it.
Jets, Giants, Denver, Miami,
it's the Monday
Chicago.
Night football game, so I don't see it on most slates, though, Mike.
Yeah, true. So we'll see. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. But I think ultimately there is something there with Brandon Marshall, with Baldwin out, but they can cover fairly well, too. I don't know what happened to them in the fourth quarter of that game, but
Aaron
I think
Rodgers
we stick
happened.
With McCoy. Yeah.
I agree
Still,
with you. I think we stick our lineup.
People.
I think we keep our lineup, and we hopefully roll to a 2-0 start with the highest points and really getting it in. And I hope that means our boy Chrissy Bones, who's down there right now, I hope he's collecting that money from all these entries.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we're playing the number two team. So
the number two, the benevolent stranger.
We'll see if we can put up another good number here. We had the benefit of Michael Thomas being in an absurd shootout and seeing 16 balls. It's a full point PPR league, so Mike Thomas put up like a 39. And clearly, we had good games out of Connor and Gordon, and we got
Manny
really
Sanders.
Nothing out of Matt. We got nothing out of Matt Stafford. And Matt Stafford, you know, it's funny in the Scott Fishbowl league. This year, industry league that we talk a lot about, you get -6 if you throw a pick six. So Matt Stafford's point total was like low in the single digits because of the pick sixes that occurred there. So it's a nice wrinkle to that league. You have to consider that with your QBs. But I got a Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, relatively safe on the turnover kind of quarterback scenario. It's a super flex league, so you're generally playing two. But so that's it. So I think we're good in our leagues. Again, waiver wires ran last night. Hopefully you did a pretty good job with those. And for me, I really kept it light. I thought people were going to go crazy on some of these players like Philip Lindsay. Brandon Marshall was okay for us. We only spent 20% of our budget, and we got a very cuttable rookie wide receiver. But I didn't really go crazy across the board. I could have used a tight end. I don't think Will Dissly is as much, but he's depth at the tight end position for me in a league where I don't really have any. So I don't know how it went for you. I don't know if you heavily competed. I didn't get into the Philip Lindsay sweepstakes. I thought it was going to be a little bit
me
too
neither.
Much. And maybe I'll be wrong, but I'm willing to be wrong on him.
No, me neither. I also was willing to be wrong on him. I think he has the potential to be kind of a PPR back for them throughout the season. If let's put it this way, if I'm a Devontae Booker owner, I am very worried about Lindsay, right? But otherwise, I was looking at Brandon Marshall mostly because of the Doug Baldwin injury and because, you know, Lockett and Baldwin are both smaller guys. They lost Jimmy Graham, so I could see Marshall being a red zone target as a sustainable thing.
Yeah. So tomorrow we'll do our survivor picks. We'll do our three picks against the spread.
ATS.
And our 2-1. Scott is 1-2. We should have worked some total picks into this, but my total picks right now in my contest, I'm 2-2. So I hit hard on the Lions under and the Raiders under. And I screwed up with the Titans and the Bucks, the freaking Bucks. I had the first overall pick, and I'm kicking myself that I didn't go with the Bills. But I really thought about it right down to the wire with the first pick, going Bills over Bucks. But I did what I did because the Bucks have an extremely tough schedule. And I thought starting out with their backup quarterback was a negative, but apparently not. They put up 48 points on the road.
Yeah, I think we're still going to be okay with that. I don't know that Fitzmagic lasts for 16 weeks.
Yeah. He is magic, though. That beard. Wow.
Civil I hear he went to Harvard. I hear he went to Harvard.
Oh, really? Never heard that story. Never heard that human interest.
We know, Bavona.
We'll come back tomorrow with some more good stuff and go through all the games on FST. It's Gardner and Friends next. Talk to you soon.
A person is diagnosed with a blood cancer like leukemia. Bone marrow transplants give patients a new lease on life, but 70% of them must rely on a stranger for one. You can help. Register with DKMS to become a donor. You'll receive a swab kit in the mail, swab your cheeks, send the samples back, and you're good to go. Take the first step. Become a hero. Register today at DKMS.org.